It's Jake Asman filling in for Charlie right here on ESPN 97.5 with you till 1 o'clock today. You hear the Baseball Tonight music. It means it's time to talk some baseball here on ESPN 97.5. So we go out to the guest hotline right now. We bring on one of the best in our industry, Buster Olney, of course, longtime ESPN baseball reporter. Buster, it's Jake. Thanks so much for taking some time today, and we certainly appreciate it. How are you?
No, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Jake.
Absolutely. So I want to start, of course, with some of the latest with the Astros stuff. I know you've been in and around a bunch of different spring training camps, and you've covered the game for such a long time. In your lifetime covering the sport, can you remember any other scenario that comes close to just the amount of vitriol from so many different players and other teams attacking the Astro players for the cheating scandal?
No, absolutely not. In fact, the other day I was talking with one member of the Red Sox, And I made that observation to him, and he goes, well, it's a player-on-player crime. That's why this is different. This is a case where, a group of players took something from the rest of the players. That's his perspective, and I know it's shared by a lot of people around the game. And I also think, that they are going to be, the Astros are going to be a source of a lot of curiosity for their peers, and that everyone wonders how they're going to be able to navigate through what is going to be an unprecedented situation this year with the type of scrutiny that the players are going to hear on the road. We've seen individual players. I covered Roberto Alomar after he had a spitting incident. You remember when Barry Bonds was getting booed back in the 2000s. We've never seen a situation where an entire group, an entire team of players is going to get the type of scrutiny that they're going to get on the road this year.
Buster Olney joining us here on ESPN 97.5. You look at the lack of punishment that so many of these players have come out and said they feel was wrong. Do you think if there was any sort of player punishment, the outrage wouldn't be as bad? Or it comes down to the fact, well, Manfred didn't vacate the 2017 championship, so there's anger over that as well. Where is the most of the anger coming from the player standpoint?
I actually think that a lot of the anger is fueled by the fact that in their repeated opportunities to address the issue, the Astros players didn't satisfy their peers. In other words, you had when the decision first came down, you didn't hear from any of the Astros for a time, and then there was that weekend when they did the Fan Fest thing, and Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve really didn't express any remorse over it. And then, of course, the day at the Astros camp where Jim Crane came out and said out loud that it had no impact. Now, other players, Carlos Correa on that day and some other Astros, Colin McHugh being an example today in Red Sox camp, have come out and probably expressed the type of remorse that their peers would like to hear. But I think that's been overshadowed by so many of the missteps. I think that's the biggest, been the biggest problem to the Astros players is their failure to deal with it quickly, and then when they did have attempts, opportunities to deal with it, that they didn't do it in a way that their peers would have wanted.
Buster Olney joining us here, ESPN baseball reporter Jake Asman filling in for Charlie Polillo here on ESPN 97.5. You kind of look at where things are with the Astros. They, of course, move on from A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow, and the manager that's in charge of leading this team in 2020 is Dusty Baker. You've known Dusty a long time, Buster. Do you think he's the right type of manager to lead this Astros team?
100%. For this very specific, unique situation, I can't see anybody who's better suited. He was a great choice because he's been around adversity his whole life, and he's witnessed it as a player, as a teammate, as a manager. He was in the on-deck circle behind Hank Aaron when he broke the home run record, and he'd seen all the racist mail that Hank Aaron received leading up to that. He was around Barry Bonds, and he saw his response. He was managing the Cubs when they had the Steve Bartman game, and there was a fallout after that. Just so many examples in his lifetime where he's seen difficulty, and that's why when they played their first exhibition and the players were booed and Dusty was asked about it, and his response was, there's nothing you can do. Just put on your big boy pants and go out and play. That's what he told the media. But just so you know, he's also telling friends that privately. Like, hey, there's no point complaining about it. Just go out and do the best you can. And I suspect that Dusty's message in the clubhouse is almost to coalesce and use this as a as an opportunity to be competitive and say, oh, yeah, you guys all think that we're not a good team, you know, that we need to sign still. We're going to go out and show you. I have no doubt that Dusty's going to try to foster that sentiment as they try to work through this.
You know, he's in such a tough spot, too, Buster, just because he's on a one-year deal and there's obviously a new GM in Click that's an analytics guy from the Rays organization. Dusty's an older manager. Just how much pressure's on Dusty given, you know, the fact that he only has that one-year deal? And obviously the circumstances for this season in 2020 are unlike anything we've ever seen in baseball.
Well, in theory, I would say, yeah, he's under pressure because if it doesn't go well, then there's probably a good chance he's not going to be brought back. But if you know Dusty's personality, Dusty's not going to worry about that. He's not thinking about 2021. He's only thinking about how he can help to make them better now, and you know how he's going to try to guide them through what's going to be a difficult year. And I know when Jim Crane interviewed these managerial candidates, that was a lot of the questioning that he did was about how would you handle if you have the opportunity. What is going to be an incredibly unique situation. I don't even think Jim had an idea at that time how unusual this is going to be this year.
Buster Olney joining us here on ESPN 97.5, ESPN baseball reporter. It's Jake Asman in for Charlie Polillo till 1 o'clock here, of course, on ESPN 97.5. Buster, a lot of people here in Houston, and I think nationally as well, are waiting on the results of the Red Sox investigation to come out. Manfred said it could have, you know, it was going to come out 3 weeks ago already, and here we are, you know, under 3 weeks to go till opening day and still nothing. What's the latest with that? Why has it taken so long for MLB to release the findings of that investigation?
Yeah, and if you remember when the Astros investigation was going on, it went on long enough where people were wondering, why did that take extra time? And I think the reason why was because as they got close to making their findings, they brought Jeff Luhnow back into the commissioner's office. I'm guessing they may have done the same thing with A.J. Hinch. And so I think they've been in the process of doubling back to talk to people of particular interest. What I was told about the investigation is, they have found very specific things that they need to address. I don't know what those are, but when they talk to players, what the conversations have been like is we hear A, B, and C, what can you tell us? Now, I had a very good source tell me that this is not going to rise to the level of what was found with the 17 Astros. That, you know, and my question to this person was, well, if the Astros thing was at a 10, scale of 1 to 10, was it a 10? What would this be? And his response was more like a 4 or 5. So I don't think that whatever comes out, it's going to be nearly at the level of what we saw with the Astros.
Buster Olney, our guest right here on ESPN 97.5. He's joining us on the HRNP listener line. You kind of look ahead now to what the Astros are going to go through, Buster. I mean, you covered, you know, the Barry Bonds era when, you know, he was the main identified steroid villain, you know, when he went to opposing ballparks on the road. What do you imagine it being like for the Astros this year? They play 12 of their first 14 games on the road after a four-game homestand to open the year. What is that going to be like when they go from city to city and they're asked questions and obviously they're going to face the fans from other teams?
It's really hard to say because I think it just comes down to a case-by-case situation when it comes to players. Look, you know, when I was covering the Orioles back in the day and Roberto Alomar had a spitting incident, he was booed on the road in every game for the rest of his entire career. And I'll always believe this, and Robbie was the best player that I ever saw, you know, in terms of all the skills that he had. I thought he was really bothered by it, and it really affected his joy for the rest of his career. Barry Bonds didn't care. Like, Barry Bonds was not affected at all. You know, the other day in our production meeting before a exhibition broadcast, Alex Rodriguez, my colleague here at ESPN, talked about it. He was a guy who didn't seem to be really affected by the booing. And so it really comes down, you know, case-by-case basis with the Astros. How are they going to deal with it? And as I mentioned before, I do think there's that natural competitive thing that kicks in for these guys who play at a high level. You know, they're always looking for a reason to have a chip on their shoulder. And I think some of them will undoubtedly successfully be able to do that and say, oh, yeah, you're doubting me? You're doubting me I can be a successful player without a banging of a trash can? Well, I'll show you. And that, in some respects, will become a weapon for them. And just in particular, I was going to mention George Springer has such an incredibly unique opportunity in a weird sort of way, and that he's a free agent when the year ends. If he gets through this year and has a big year in the face of all the scrutiny he's going to get along with the other players, my goodness, it's going to become like a chit on his resume where teams that will be interested, especially, you know, big market teams, will, when they ask the question internally, how would he handle a Boston or a New York market or someplace like that, it actually will become a positive on his resume.
On the HRNP guest line here on ESPN 97.5 is Buster Olney, the ESPN baseball reporter. Buster, I got to ask you about what ESPN's been doing with some of these broadcasts here in spring training. The all-access players being mic'd up, getting a chance to talk to different managers and GMs in the middle of the game. I understand that, you know, mic'ing up a player in the middle of an at-bat is likely never going to happen in a regular season game, but can we see something like this in the regular season? You know, could we get implements of what you guys at ESPN have been able to do in spring training and somehow take that to the regular season? Because I know the fans have really loved, you know, that access that we've been able to get.
Man, I hope so. And you touched on something that I'm going to write about for my Sunday column lead, was just how successful it's been and what an incredible opportunity potential opportunity. It should show the players in Major League Baseball what that could be. And I agree with you generally that, you know, we'll never see players wearing microphones during their at-bats. But I got to tell you, you know, when you see a guy like Anthony Rizzo and how he clearly was able to concentrate, Pete Alonso of the Mets did the same thing, and you weigh that against the potential opportunity for how to grow the game and connect with a younger audience, I think baseball's perfect for this sort of thing because there's so much downtime during a game. You know, and even if you didn't do it with players who were position players who were batting or a pitcher who was on the mound, I mean, give it to a guy on a bench. Give it to one of the guys who are out in the bullpen. Have conversations with players. Outfielders are perfect for that thing because there's just so much dead time. And you know this. I mean, one of baseball's biggest problems has been the fact that as the world around us gets faster and faster and everyone's got an app, and I've got a 15-year-old son, he's moving from, you know, a video to a next video or next text or whatever, baseball is really slow. And so if you give them something to watch between moments of actions in the game, it would be spectacular. And I hope that, you know, the Major League Baseball and the Players Association recognizes the potential of this.
Buster, before I let you go, what's the latest with that new playoff system that MLB wants to propose? Does it have any chance of passing? And kind of what were your thoughts on what was allegedly proposed that the players are going to have to look at?
Yeah, I do think it's going to pass. I understand. I mean, the outset, Trevor Bauer of the Reds was very outspoken against it, but some of his objections just were not fact-based. And I think that, you know, once the players look at it and look at the potential revenue that could come their way, you know, because of it, I can't imagine what their actual objections would be. Like, I want to hear after the actual proposal is on the table for the players to read and to understand and react to, I don't know why they would be against it, to be honest with you. I understand why some traditionalist fans wouldn't want it, you know, to have a playoff field of 14 because they'd be concerned about the integrity of the regular season. But I'm someone who back in the 90s was against the addition of a wild card. You know what? I was dead wrong. It's been great, and I think that this format would be great, and that 1 week at the outset of the postseason would be one of the most fun, fast things that we've seen in baseball.
He's Buster Olney. You can follow him on Twitter at Buster_ESPN, longtime ESPN baseball reporter, and check out his podcast, The Baseball Tonight Podcast as well. Buster, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for making some time for us here today.
Yep. Good to talk to you, Jake.
Buster Olney joining us there on the HRNP listener line. Jake Asman filling in for Charlie Polillo right here on ESPN 97.5.